the first chapter, we spoke about retail. This is the second chapter. We are going to talk about retail merchandising. So, merchandising in the retail scenario. What are the learning objectives that we want to achieve through this chapter? Understand the concept of merchandising and the various factors that affect the merchandising functions. The importance of a sound philosophy of merchandising. We also need to learn about the technology and systems used in merchandising function, as well as learn the importance of this function. So, what is merchandising? The term merchandising literally means buying and selling. So when we say retail merchandising, we are saying merchandising or buying and selling in the retail scenario. It can be defined as the planning, development, and presentation of product lines for identified target markets. So merchandising is not only selling, it is also buying. It is also planning for buying. So what do you have to buy? What do you have to sell? How to buy, how to sell, develop the product and present it to the customer. Merchandising is an integral part of retail. The retail function cannot exist without merchandising. Let us understand merchandising in further detail. So first, let's understand what are the rights of merchandising. So, here we are not talking of this is my right. What we are talking about is the right or the wrong way. So, these are the rights of merchandising. These are the various components that make the correct or right merchandising function. The right merchandise, right quantity, the right quality. Obviously, the price has to be right. And the location or the place has to be right. Also, the right time is extremely important. If your product is good, but it is not the right time to be selling that product, it will not be bought. Or the product is good, the price is too high. A competitor is selling the same product for a lesser price. Again, it may not sell. So, it is important that these elements of the right merchandising function are all followed. So, if all these are right, only then will your entire merchandising function be right. Let's look at each of these one by one. First, we'll talk about the right merchandise. We all know the four P's. The first P is the product. If the product is not correct, you will never be able to sell it. So, this is what we are saying over here. The merchandise has to be right. Selecting and presenting the right merchandise is critical as product is the focus of the customer's buying. If the customer is not happy with the product, even if it is a low price, they may not buy it. Each market segment and geographical region demands a different product, a different merchandise mix. Seasonal and trend changes affect the merchandise mix. So, in summers, you will have a different category of apparel, and in winters, you will have a different category. Some segments are more affected by changes in trends, for example, apparel and accessories. Some segments are not affected by seasonal and trend changes, let's say grocery or electronics. The product assortment must have a balanced mix of all types of merchandise, which is basic, trendy, and seasonal. So let us understand what these mean. A basic product is one that is staple, that does not change so easily either with season or with trends. It is a product that is usually sold in bigger quantities and a bigger segment of the target customer needs the basic products. A trendy product is one which undergoes a lot of changes in the customer's likes and dislikes. It could be things that are related to apparel, accessories, things which are more color oriented, and you could have seasonal products which again are, let's say, rainy wear, umbrellas and raincoats you will need only in a particular season, or woolens you will need only in a particular season, or if you are traveling to a place that is cold. So a retailer should have a balanced amount of products in each of these categories to have the right merchandise. The right merchandise assortment. What do we understand by the term assortment? It is the number of pieces per size, per color, for each style or product variety. It is the right colors, the right sizes, and the right product features to fulfill the needs and desires of the target customer. The retailer has to make sure that the right product is available in the store in the right colors and the right sizes. Please understand, this is not only about quality, it is also about quantity. So the quantity of stock has to be correct. Enough stock must be available to meet the planned sales and give the customer a wide variety to choose from. How many times have you faced a situation where you go to a store, you like a product, and then they do not have it in the color and the size that you like? So either they will request you to change the color, or they will request you to fit into a bigger or a smaller size. That is exactly what we are trying to say over here. Merchandise assortment has to be in the right quantity, and the color size mix is extremely important. Right quantity. Quantity, as we know, is a function of supply and demand. Enough stock must be available in the right assortment of color and sizes. Deciding the correct quantity of each style is critical. Today morning, I don't know how many pieces of product category A are going to sell. In the evening, I may realize that I have more quantity with me, but there have not been enough customers to buy that product. Vice versa, there could be a huge demand for that product or size or color, but I do not have enough quantity available to sell. Thus, quantity is extremely critical. Price. Any student of marketing knows the importance of price. Price is a function of profit and cost. It should be high enough to make a desired profit for the retailer. At the same time, price has to be low enough to get in enough customers and to meet the target sales. Thus, pricing is extremely, extremely important. Price should make production feasible. This means, as we've discussed earlier, price is proportional to the quantity being manufactured. The price cannot be very high or very low. It has to be a good balance so that every party is winning. The retailer is making a decent profit and the customer thinks the price is right and it is not very high. Else, the customer is going to buy from your competitor. What about timing? Obviously, timing is critical. Timing is critical so that the merchandise does not go waste. If your product is seasonal and you're selling it after a certain time frame, will anybody buy it? In Delhi, nobody is going to buy woolens in February, right? Similarly, in November, nobody is going to buy rainy wear. So timing is extremely important, especially for seasonal and trendy products. In case the timing is not right, the product is left over It becomes part of dead stock, which means that inventory or stock which is not going to be sold now. What does the retailer do in such a situation? The retailer ends up selling it at a discounted sale price, which means he makes a loss on the dead stock. Quality. What do we understand by quality? Very difficult to define, isn't it? Quality is a standard acceptable to a customer. Quality decides the price. Quality satisfies the need of the product. Quality includes a lot of characteristics. It is reliability. It is responsiveness. It is also compliance and compatibility. The quality has to be appropriate to the product, to the target customer, and to the price of the product. Quality has to be compatible. So all these elements, which is the product, the target customer, and the price, have to match with the quality level of the product. They also have to complement the retailer's image with the consumer. Some retailers have an image. For example, Big Bazaar has an image of low price. A customer walking into a Big Bazaar may not be quality conscious, but will definitely be price sensitive. Similarly, a person walking into a Zara store to buy apparel is not really concerned with the price. They are more concerned with the product quality and being trendy and showcasing a particular image and having an individuality of appearance. Place, like we've said earlier, location in retail is an extremely critical factor. The importance of location for a retailer cannot be emphasized enough. The right store location is the first step towards retail success. The location should have enough footfall, which means the store has to be in an area that has enough people walking around. But is that enough? No. It has to be footfall of the right kind of customer. The kind of customer that the retailer wants to sell to in order to achieve enough sales. Even within the store, the placement of different products in sections or the location of different departments within a store is critical to achieving success. So if you enter a store like Lifestyle or Globus or Shopper Stop, who have a number of floors, they have different sections or departments like menswear, womenswear, cosmetics, perfumes, apparel, shoes. So there has to be a particular layout of these departments in a way that the customer is forced to step inside the store and then they buy. So the usual products that the customer walking into a store will be located at the far corner. A product category which is common, which is what the buyer is usually going to buy from that store, will be at the end or in one of the corners of the store. Thereby, the retailer is forcing the customer to walk through the entire store to reach that section. And while they are walking through the entire store, they see other products on display and get tempted to buy. So location of the store as well as the layout of different departments, sections or products within the store is extremely important for retail success. Now let's understand the concept of retail merchandising. Retail industry, as we've discussed, is extremely dynamic. The retailer has to constantly evolve and adapt to these changes in order to remain competitive. The product, like we all know, is the most important aspect of the marketing mix. Thus, merchandise assortment available at a store is critical to success and is a key driver of retail success. Effective merchandising will push improvements in sales revenue, in gross margins, and reduction in inventories. Inventory is something that we don't want to increase. Everybody wants reduced inventory because, like we discussed earlier, there is an inventory holding cost. Okay, so in order to succeed, a retailer has to ensure that the merchandising function is extremely effective. Now let us understand some factors that affect the merchandising function. The merchandising function, though very important, does not work in isolation. It has to interact with a lot of different teams of the retailer and get information from and get data from the other teams. So what are the factors that affect the merchandising function? There are mainly four factors: the size of the retail organization, the type of retail format that the organization is following, the merchandise that the retailer is selling, and the organizational structure of that retailer. Now let us understand each of these factors individually. The size of the retail organization affects the merchandising function. How big is the retailer? Who owns it? Is it an individual, independent retailer owned by one person? Then that person is able to make all decisions. And he is also able to immediately adapt to the requirements of the customer. Okay? Depending on the kind of retailer, the decisions are made differently. Okay? The size of the retail business is extremely important. Needs of an independent retailer vary considerably from those of a large chain retailer. An independent retailer means there is only one store. The owner or his few sales team members can make all the decisions. The processes, the systems of procuring can all be changed immediately. In case it is a large retail store or it has a number of chain outlets, it is a chain retailer. In that case, the systems and processes cannot be easily changed because the same systems are followed in each of the stores of the retail chain. Also, in case of retail chains, the buying can be either centralized or decentralized. In decentralized buying, each individual store of the chain can buy products themselves. So the decision making is decentralized. In case of a centralized decision making or buying, all stores have to procure through a central team, which means each store cannot make product decisions or changes in the sourcing procedures themselves. Hence, the size of the retail organization affects the merchandising functions. The type of store. What are the various types of retail stores? You could have an independent store, which we also term as a mom and pop store. You could have a departmental store. You could have a specialty retailer. You could have a convenience outlet. Each of these stores have a different type of merchandise. Each of them has a different system to follow. The nature of the organization or the store affects the merchandising functions. The retail store format affects every aspect of the merchandising mix and all merchandising decisions. For example, buying for a mail order catalog or for any direct marketing channel or for an online retailer would be extremely different from each other. So we need to understand that the type of store is also going to affect our merchandising decisions. Now, the next is the merchandise to be carried. We just discussed the different types of merchandise, whether it is basic or staple, it could be seasonal, it could be trendy, it could be a fashion product. does the merchandising function remain the same for all these types of products, or is it different? So we need to understand that. The merchandise determines the responsibilities of the retailer. Buying for basic merchandise is very different from buying for fashion merchandise. Basic merchandise remains the same. There is no change in the product. There is no change in the trends. On the other hand, fashion merchandise changes every few months. What sold in this summer will not sell in the next summer. So the decisions regarding merchandising obviously have to be different to cater to different product categories. The organizational structure or hierarchy also affects the merchandising function. The structure that a retail organization adopts is also as... The organization structure that the retail organization adopts affects the merchandising function, as does the size of the organization. A small organization is more adaptable. A big organization will not be very flexible, and any change required in the systems, the procedures, the product categories, the price points will need to be routed through the higher management and will have to follow a certain procedure before we make the required changes. Merchandising philosophy. As the name suggests, it's a philosophy. It is a guideline. It is about the values or thoughts of that organization. So merchandising philosophy can be defined as the set of guiding principles for the decision a retailer will make. So these are just a guiding principle. They are the thoughts, the values that that retail organization believes in, and thus will affect all decisions that they take. The merchandising philosophy will influence the retailer's choice of merchandise. It helps the retailer in differentiating their offerings from that of the competitor. Let us look at the various elements that reflect the merchandising philosophy of a retailer. The retailer's institutional type, the type of organization that it is, the target market desires. What is it that the target market wants? Who is your target customer? How do they think? How do they behave? What do they think before they buy? These are also things that are going to affect the retailer's merchandising philosophy. The costs, the kind of costs that the retailer is incurring and the kind of prices he charges will affect the merchandising philosophy. Needless to say, when your product is highly priced, it will have to be accompanied by some kind of value addition, or at least a perception of value addition, maybe even higher quality and better services. Market positioning. What is the positioning of this retailer and that product category? These will also affect the philosophy that the retailer follows. The value chain. So what is the distribution network? What is the supply chain? And again, the supplier's capabilities. So who is my supplier? What is his capability? What kind of product does he specialize in? What are the price points that my supplier charges? Is the supplier more powerful or the retailer? Who is dictating the terms? These are part of the philosophy of a retailer. Who are the competitors? What are the philosophies that that competitor follows? Don't you think those will affect my decisions as a retailer? The trends of the product. If my product is a trendy product or a seasonal product, obviously that is going to dictate my merchandising philosophy. When do I give a discount? How do I sell the leftovers? What do I do with the dead stock? Do I give it on sale at the end of the season? All these decisions are going to affect the philosophy. Okay, let's look at some examples of merchandising philosophy to understand this better. Zara. Zara is a huge Spanish retailer dealing in fast fashion. Fast fashion, which means every few weeks, the product that is displayed in the store is different. For Zara, every 2 weeks, they change the entire merchandise in the store. Zara has a very flexible structure. They have a strong focus on the consumer, which means this is their merchandising philosophy, right? That focus on the consumer, flexibility, so that they can keep adapting themselves to the requirements of the consumer. Zara focuses mainly on time. So for them, time is the factor to be considered above and beyond costs. Merchandising philosophy of McDonald's. That is a favorite of most of us. We find a McDonald's in every corner of the city. But what is their merchandising philosophy? Their philosophy is exceptional customer experience. They operate the business in an ethical manner and help consumers build better communities. So they are a socially responsible retail organization. As you can see, these philosophies help these retailers decide on their merchandising strategies, on their products, on their thoughts, on their decision making. Now let us move on to the next topic, which is merchandising technology. What do we understand by technology? It is the use of IT, it is the use of computers, and anything that makes our life easier. Similarly, merchandisers in an organization need their lives to be made simpler, easier, faster. Merchandising is a function that requires a lot of hard work, a lot of decision making, a lot of data, a lot of number crunching. The merchants need to use technology so that their life is made easier. Unfortunately, merchandising is an area which got technology in the end. Production was the area of focus for technology. So all manufacturers wanted to acquire the latest technology, latest gadgets, latest machinery, so that the production quantities as well as quality improved and brought prices down. But merchandising was an area where technology entered in the end. But thankfully it did. So today, merchandising technology is the use of information technology with the objective of using time effectively, efficiently, increasing the accuracy of data that we have, optimizing benefits of technology for both retailers and customers. Let us look at some concepts wherein merchandising technology is of huge help. Point of sales system, which we also call POS. Today it is also called EPOS, which is electronic point of sales, because everything is digital. So what is point of sales? It is that place where the sale actually happens in the store. So essentially, the point where you go and give cash or your credit card to the cashier and collect the goods that you have bought is the POS.